I'm calling Malachi, be genuine. Why? Because these people were hypocrites. These people were, you know, they didn't walk the talk. If you don't walk the walk, it's probably best not to talk the talk. But these people were saying they were obeying the Lord, but they actually were hypocrites. So a hypocrite is someone, literally, is someone who holds a... who has a mask, who's really very different underneath. And so I think what the book of Malachi is actually talking about is how can you be 100% authentic? How can you actually be genuine? So I'm calling this book, the title, Be Genuine. This is at the time of Nehemiah. This is when the people have been back in the land, and we see the historical account in the book of Nehemiah, that's really the background to understanding what's happening in Malachi. Because Malachi and Nehemiah were living in the same town in Jerusalem, same time, so these guys certainly knew each other. They were leaders of the community. And what contribution does Malachi actually give to helping us to be genuine? He says they had hearts of stone. He says that that they really needed to have soft hearts or genuine hearts before God. Otherwise, they end up in hypocrisy. And so what we find in the book is that it's a very brief book, 4 chapters. It's a warning of judgment for hypocrisy. This is a difficult one, honestly, to talk about, because one thing about hypocrites is that they don't know they're hypocrites. It's sort of like being deceived, right? If you're deceived, the reason you're deceived is because you don't know you're deceived. If you knew that you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived. I think if you knew you were a hypocrite, you would take the mask off, or at least hopefully I think most of us would take that mask off. But they show their hypocrisy by God making accusations, and then they defend themselves. So this book is really a warning of judgment for their hypocrisy. And to answer that question, how can you be genuine? Well, just really, it starts with stop making excuses. Really listen to the Lord, to what God's actually telling me. You look at the excuses that they give in the book, that really sets the framework of what's happening in Malachi. God says, I love you. They go, oh, have you loved us? God says, well, you show contempt for my name. Oh, how have we shown contempt for your name? They don't really believe what God's saying here. God says, you defiled my altar. You know, you're putting sacrifices up there that's junk. And they go, well, how have we defiled you? And why don't you accept our offerings, God? God says, you offer blind sheep? You offer diseased animals on my altar? Are you kidding? God says, you're wearying me. Oh, really? How have we wearied you? You know? God says, no, you need to return to me. Oh, how are we to return? God says, well, you can start with your tithe. How about you start giving the very minimum I ask? Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse because you're robbing me. Really? We're robbing you? How are we robbing you, God? God says, I require a tithe of you. And in fact, I say, if you tithe, I'm going to open the storehouses of heaven and bless you. You don't even want that. But you just are speaking against me. What? Well, we have not. We're not speaking against you. What have we said against you? Over and over in this book, you find excuses, excuses, excuses. And it's a good book to look at ourselves and say, am I offering excuses to God? It's a book of hypocrisy. And if you really want to curb hypocrisy, Malachi is a fantastic book to go to. Because you see how over and over how God says that you're making up all these various excuses. I love you. I chose Jacob. I love Jacob. I hated Esau. I made Esau his land desolate compared to what Israel had. But no, we don't appreciate that. So God says, you guys are offering lousy sacrifices when you say you have despised my name. He's telling us to give our best to him. He's telling us not to offer our junk. Some years ago, we had a, right outside the building here, we had an old washing machine that showed up. I asked our business manager, where'd that washing machine come from? I didn't see that last night. He goes, somebody dropped it off during the night to give to the college. We've looked at it. It's all broken. We're going to have to pay someone $50 to haul it away. And I thought, seriously, have you noticed the gate out there is locked? That's to keep people from bringing their junk and giving their junk to God at night. You can bring it up. You can, you know, you can put it in the SPC. Well, we couldn't put it in the dumpster because you can't do that. And I thought, wow, would you do that with a prime minister? Would you go give your prime minister junk if you were to go offer a gift to him, you know? Evaluate your actions, evaluate your attitudes. We often show up very, very punctually everywhere but church. Have you noticed that about half the people who go to church are late? I don't count how many people are at church when we start the service. I count about 30 minutes, 40 minutes into it. Because that's by the time everybody shows up, you know. And yet we have these different standards. And God says, no, I want you to hold a high, high standard. We have low standards even for our marriages. These people were divorcing their young brides, who now are older, and divorcing their middle-aged wives, Hebrew wives, and marrying younger people. God says, I hate divorce. I hate what you guys are doing. I don't care what kind of offerings. Even if you give the best offerings, the best offering shows up in your family. You know? I think the key verses of this book are Malachi 2:17. You've wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, oh, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he's pleased with them. Or, where's the God of justice? Boy, you see people saying that all the time nowadays, don't you? Where's the God of justice? So much injustice going on here, and God's allowing it all. God says, see, I'll send you my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you're seeking will come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. God says, I'm going to bring my messenger. And so our excuse over and over finds God's answer. How can we repent? Stop robbing me. How have we robbed you? Yeah, you're not tithing. And that blasphemes me. And over, we tend to give all these excuses before God. How have we blasphemed you? Well, your motive is to give to get. You know, we need to really be honest with the Lord. I saw this sign. This church is not full of hypocrites. There's always room for more. In other words, are you a hypocrite? Of course you are. Do you follow everything you know that you should do? No, you don't. Neither do I. But let's help one another in our hypocrisy to grow. Just recognize no one is righteous, not even one. And we need to stop giving up the excuses. I saw this man who didn't have any feet, you know, who's a runner. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse. And studying the book of Malachi has really helped me to just, you know, I'm not perfect by any means. My wife will tell you that. But it helps me to just say, Lord, take all my excuses. I'm tired. I want to be genuine. And one of the ways is to stop making excuses. And the second way we see in the final chapter of the Old Testament, and that is to consider your future. The book ends with this wonderful promise. It is wonderful, but it's also a warning as well, to rely on God's promises. But the book ends with God saying, "Those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." And he says, "A time is coming when you will go free, leaping like with joy like calves let out to pasture." You ever see little calves? They just jumping all over the place. It's such a fun thing to see. And then he finishes in the last verse by saying, "Keep my commandments. Don't forget what I said to Moses." So here's the end of the Old Testament. "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel." And then he says, "I will send you a prophet, Elijah, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I'll come and strike the land with a curse." So the book ends with a warning about the curse. It's an interesting way to end the Old Testament, isn't it? It's not a rah-rah, you know, look at the wonderful future. It's a warning. You can participate in the future with a sense of a blessing, or you can actually be God fighting against you. So I summarize the book. The Lord rebukes the hypocrisy of post-exilic Jews by answering their defensive questions, so they'll prepare for the coming judgment and blessing by leaving their sin and returning to him. And the idea here is to be genuine. So I think the main idea of Malachi is stop making excuses and consider your future. You can be genuine by this is the what not to do. Don't be making excuses. But what to do is to look to the future. So don't do it. You can curb your hypocrisy and really be genuine by recognizing the excuses that you make and I make. Christians belong to the godly seed, so acceptable worship requires an acceptable lifestyle, especially in the family, because God hates divorce. Christians have Jesus who will bring judgment and purification, so repent and obey while you await his return. God desires to bless us, bless him. Bless his servants, those who are in need. And don't rob God of what he has loaned you, because you don't own anything, right? And check your motive for giving. These are some wonderful, hard-hitting words from Malachi that leave us, you know, when you turn the page to your blank page between the Old Testament and the New Testament, for us to really think about. And I pray that we'll really take it to heart and we'll really be genuine before the Lord.